Hi, welcome to Then, Now, and How. This is a new podcast that me and Heather and Stephanie are doing because we love the scriptures and we wanted to talk about it as friends, and hopefully you'll join us and we can all learn together and have fun together. My name is Michelle Wilson. This is Heather B. Moore and Stephanie D. Sorensen. And because this is our first episode, we thought we would take a couple minutes and just explain to you who we are, because some of you might not know who we are, and why we called it Then, Now, and How. So Heather is actually the then. So Heather, let's learn a little bit more about you.
So my name is Heather Moore. I write under Heather B. Moore or H.B. Moore. I write a lot of historical fiction, a lot of biblical fiction. I've written Book of Mormon fiction. I've written nonfiction on the Book of Mormon and different women in the scriptures primarily. I am the then part of the podcast because I'm going to do the deep diving into kind of the historical context of the different scriptures that we study each week.
Yeah. So Heather's most recent books. I didn't tell them I was going to do this. Can you tell us about Women Who Believe? Because you co-wrote this with Angela Eschler, right?
Yeah. It was basically the basis of the book is about the Beatitudes. And we bring different women from different eras in the scriptures and talk about how their lives exemplified each of the Beatitudes.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And then you mentioned that you write fiction too. So this is your latest novel, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a World War II novel set in Indonesia. And it was really fascinating to write because I got to interview a survivor of one of the prison camps. And she's a Dutch woman that lived and was actually born in Indonesia, and her whole family got interned into these camps.
Yeah, I just finished reading it last week and it was so good. I actually listened to it. So I'm at the gym listening to it and I was so motivated. I just wanted to get to the next chapter and find out what happens. You are just a brilliant storyteller. This one's called Under the Java Moon. So those are just two of her most recent books.
You should read Heather's books because they're really good, not just because this is friend nepotism. Like they're great.
True. I mean, because I know that you really read the book. Because sometimes people say, "Oh, I like your books," but you're not sure if they really read them.
Yeah.
But I could tell when they like bring up certain things. I'm like, okay, you really read it.
I won't ask you guys if you've read mine, but that's fine. It's fine.
No, I have your books around here somewhere.
Somewhere it's fine.
But how many books have you read? Stacked on them, right?
They're all under my laptop. Because you've written like 50 books, haven't you? How many books have you published, Heather?
Me?
Yeah.
A lot. Like, well, if like our lives are eternal, I've written like a million, but my earthly life I've written about in the 90s probably. So.
Wow.
But not all like full novels and not all historicals. I write some contemporary and some shorter stuff.
Nice. So. Good job. Me too, except like if you subtract like 85. It's very close.
We're just the same.
So much the same. Okay. Stephanie. Oh, so that's why you're right. That's why you're talking about the then, because you're going to bring in that whole context and historical.
Historical. Yep.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Love it. Okay. Stephanie, you are the now.
I am the now, and it is not because I am like so contemporary. I am the it girl. That's not why. It is because my gospel passion is built around the teachings of living prophets. I teach at BYU in the Department of Church History and Doctrine, and I mainly teach living prophets classes. And I just love studying and learning from the teachings of living prophets. And so I really like to approach gospel study and scripture study with the perspective of what's being taught now by living prophets to help us better understand how to contextualize those scriptures and consider what they mean and what that looks like and how they can be applied in the now because of the teachings of living prophets and apostles.
Yeah. So when we were talking about this podcast and how it just kind of became what we're hoping it's going to become, just bringing in those different viewpoints, like you are just so, and I wanted to show them this. This is called Learn of Me. So this is Stephanie Dibbs.
And me is not me. It's Jesus.
Learn of Jesus. It's called Me. And it's, so how many years ago did, why don't you just go ahead and tell us the idea where this came from?
Okay. So it really does have a living profits impetus because in about 2018, President Nelson gave a talk to all of the young adults in the church, and he challenged them to study everything about Jesus Christ in the topical guide. Then in the following general conference, he extended that same challenge to all of the members of the church and said that, and he talked about the experience he had doing that. And he said, "I am a changed man," because he had studied everything about the Savior in the 58 subheadings under Jesus Christ in the topical guide. So that book was, it stemmed from my taking that challenge myself and studying all of those scriptures, but doing it in the way that I like to do it, where I bring in teachings from living prophets. And so the book is a workbook. It's not a text. It has all of the scriptures in it from the topical guide with some supplementary materials, some definitions, some extra readings that you can do to understand each of the different titles and subtopics about Jesus Christ. And it's just supposed to be a tool to really literally learn more about the Savior. Yeah, using the scriptures and teaching the prophets.
Yeah. There's places to write notes where you can really just contemplate. You can really just soak it in. And I'm so excited to be doing this with both of you just because of your background and what you're going to bring. Because we all look at life, you know, through a different lens. Mm-hmm. And you both have these very unique lenses of what the way that you look at things and what you're going to bring to this. And I'm really excited. And we're just three friends. So our friends that are watching, I wish you could have watched us prepare for this first one. I wish we would have just started recording a half an hour ago because we had a lovely time.
You would have all been very excited to see my vacuum and piles in the background. So.
But the best part was when she took, it's a big vacuum with a long hose, and she wrapped the whole thing around and she just walked me across the room with a vacuum.
It looks like an octopus.
Yes.
Yeah, but we're real people and we're real friends and we're not.
Let me transition to Michelle, because Michelle is the now, and she has her unique perspective is that she is a great people person. She just connects with people and she can help talk to them and understand their circumstances, and she gives great advice. So Michelle, tell them what you are doing in the now portion of the podcast.
I love to tell people what to do.
and show us your books.
Yeah.
Right, 80% of the time. So you decide what 20%. But you want me to tell you what to do. I did just grab my most recent. So I'm just grabbing the most recent ones. So the most recent one is called Jesus, and it's almost like a memoir collection of essays type of thing.
Show it again, because it was covered up by the little, there you go.
It's, you see that?
Leaning on Jesus.
Yeah. I love that cover.
Yeah. They did the publisher did a really beautiful job. So I have about four inspirational nonfiction titles that are published through Deseret Book and Covenant. And I just love writing about us, about our potential, about who we are, about the power that we have to choose how we see things and how we can solve problems and how we can be strong. We live in this world where having the victim mentality is becoming more popular, you know? And I just love us to be able to see ourselves not as victims, but as women and men that have power, that have ability, that have responsibility and accountability. And not only that, because it's more of a rah-rah, but it's how do you do that? How do you know what what's in your control, what's not in your control? And I love to approach the scriptures with, yeah, but why? I mean, I love the historical and I love the now and the quotes, but for me, and maybe it's because I need so much help in my life. I read something and I want to go, okay, so how is that going to change my life today? Because I read, and today we're going to talk about the introductory pages of the Book of Mormon in our first episode. How do I walk away from these pages with a principle that I can pull out or a question or something that I can do that's actually going to help me to change the way I see, the way I act, the way I feel? The way I believe.
How I live the gospel.
It's the application. So this is our podcast. And because this is our pilot, we're not quite sure how it's going to work. And so we're all going to discover this together.
It's going to be so fun.
It is going to be so fun because we are so fun. But so this is episode one. And so this week we're in the introductory chapters of, not chapters, but the pages of the Book of Mormon. And so we thought for this podcast, if we go ahead and just start with Heather pretty much every week, because Heather's awesome.
That's fine. I'll get it over with.
No, I love like historical context, where we are, what are we looking at? What does it mean? Especially when we're talking about, you know, later in the Book of Mormon and the meaning of some words and the situations and culture and stuff. It's fascinating. So if you guys are ready, should we just
can
go
I
ahead
throw and one thing out before Heather starts? I just want to say that Heather's always going to lay the foundation. But one of the reasons that the three of us did this, like we're all crazy, busy moms, wives, all that other stuff, just like anyone who watches this probably is too. But we just kept coming back to this because we're studying the Book of Mormon this year, and we love the Book of Mormon. And all of us really just felt like we wanted to be able to bear testimony of our love for the Book of Mormon. And one thing that I love about this group of friends is I think that even though we have different perspectives that we bring to gospel study, I think all of us, like all three of us, really believe in the power that the gospel can bring into our lives. And we just really like want to share that because we think it's something worth celebrating. That was my inspirational intro. Go ahead, Heather.
That's beautiful.
I definitely agree. I definitely love the Book of Mormon. I've somehow written 9 novels based on the Book of Mormon. So I wouldn't really profess to say I know the entire Book of Mormon, but I do know certain stories quite well. But again, you know, as I get older and older, I tend to forget things. But it's really exciting to go back into some of these pages and think, oh yeah, and then this happened and then that happened. But overall, just like Michelle mentioned, today we're focusing on the introductory pages of the Book of Mormon. And I just wanted to say that we look at the Book of Mormon as like starting in 600 BC when Lehi left Jerusalem, going all the way up until when Moroni buried the gold plates. And that was AD 421. So we have hundreds of years that we're covering. There's obviously a lot of wars that go on. There's a lot of spiritual things, a lot of devastations, a lot of triumphs, a lot of miracles. But most importantly is what the Book of Mormon represents, which is being a testament of Jesus Christ. And sometimes you think, well, what's the purpose of the Book of Mormon? We have the Bible, we have modern day prophets, you know, that are teaching us in different conferences and meetings. But the sole purpose of the Book of Mormon and the reason why the Book of Mormon was even written, and if you can think of trying to etch out a couple of sentences or a paragraph or two on metal plates, that would take a long time, is that so that you and I 2000 years later can learn more about the Savior. We have a lot of testimonies that as we go through the Book of Mormon this year, that we can see a lot of prophets that testified, and their testimonies are sweet and they're real. And I would encourage anyone who's reading the Book of Mormon to prayerfully read it. I was actually at a conference a couple months ago, and this lady came up and she had heard this panel I presented on. We were talking about writing for, you know, historical novels, and she introduced herself. She is a professor and she's Jewish. I've read the Book of Mormon several times. And she is just fascinated by the history. And she's writing a book on a contemporary rendition of the Abraham and Sarah story. And I just said, well, I just wrote a book on Rebecca and Isaac. And so we're talking about that anyway. So it's just fascinating to talk to someone who I've written a lot of stories about ancient Israelites and the Jewish people and the Jewish heritage. And she's read a lot of Book of Mormon stuff. So even if you're not maybe a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints like we are, we would just invite anyone to join in and ask questions on our podcast, because I feel like religion is kind of grounds us no matter who you claim your higher power is. But I'm very excited to talk about the Book of Mormon. I don't really like focus all the time on like the title page and those kind of things, because I get so wrapped up in the stories that are to come, which I'm excited for.
I love the stories. And I think you brought up something really interesting. So when we think of the Book of Mormon, oftentimes we think of like the two groups of people, you know, the Nephites, mm-hmm. the Lamanites. And we forget that, you know, these were people that lived in Jerusalem. And so you think about that culture that you're so familiar with, and this was their lives. And so I'm really excited for that perspective that you're going to bring in, so we can see some of that in the writing and what those things mean. So yeah, I loved reading these introductory, to be honest, because obviously we're friends. And so we're just going to talk about this. The introductory chapter, pages are not ones that I've spent my life studying. It typically, if I'm like sitting down, I'm like, I really want to be inspired. I'm not going to
read the title page again.
I'm not going to turn to it. But there's a lot of really amazing things in here. I'm really curious though. And one of the things I'm really excited about, Stephanie, the stuff that you're going to bring is, what are our living prophets saying about these? So I want to get that perspective too. So
One of the things that I thought was interesting is, I mean, I think any of us who have heard teachings from President Nelson, we know that there are a few prophetic priorities that he talks about quite often, that he brings up over and over again. They've been the main point of several talks, and they carry often from one general conference to another. And one of those, I would say, that I think you would both agree with, is the gathering of Israel. And he's talked a lot about Israel, the gathering of Israel, the blessing that we have to be involved with the gathering of Israel. And then for him, that's very closely linked to temples, right? Because temples are part of the gathering as well. So those things are all kind of tied together. And when we think about how that gathering happens, it's happening through missionary work, but it's also happening through temple work. So for the living and for the dead. And he taught very clearly that anytime anyone does anything, and this is a poor paraphrase, but I think you'll remember it, to help someone come unto Christ in any way, then that is gathering Israel. And so that's why missionary work, teaching in our homes and families, having positive, encouraging, uplifting, and inviting relationships with others around us in our communities and things like that, and then also our redeeming work for the dead, are all ways that we gather Israel by inviting others to come unto Christ. And so one thing that I thought was really interesting in the context of like the title page, these introductory pages, and this idea of the gathering of Israel, in the title page itself, it specifically mentions that the purpose is to show unto the remnant of the house of Israel that they are not cast off forever, and to convince them that Jesus is the Christ, and to invite them to know the covenants of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so you can see how that's tied into the temple work, the missionary work, and things like that. So one thing that I think is really interesting is that the Book of Mormon has a specific role in achieving that. And so Elder Cook, in the April 23 General Conference, he said, with the Restoration and Book of Mormon, the concept of gathering Israel has greatly expanded. Those who accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, regardless of lineage, become part of gathered Israel. With that gathering and the numerous temples built and announced, we are in a unique position to gather Israel on both sides of the veil as never before under the Father's plan. And so that's like really exciting to know that we are at an important place where this is accelerating. We can see it as a prophetic priority, and then we have these other testimonies from apostles and prophets saying this is something that's happening. It's an important stage of history that we're in, is being a part of that gathering. And then Elder Suarez also spoke in General Conference, and he talked about the great example that President Nelson is in sharing the Book of Mormon with people everywhere he goes. And he said that Elder Suarez invited all of us to follow President Nelson's example and to prayerfully and consistently study the words of the Book of Mormon, and that we will be partakers of the blessings in our lives, but that we should share it with others as we do that. So I just think that these are all things that we can kind of keep in mind that are some of the main points that are brought out in the introductory parts of the Book of Mormon, but that we're seeing repeated in our General Conference talks, taught from prophets and apostles, and telling us that we have a role in making sure that the purpose of the Book of Mormon is achieved.
Well, and even in the title page, I mean, that Moroni wrote thousands of years ago, He said that at the very bottom. You know, he talked about, you know, the Lord manifesting himself unto all nations. That is the purpose. And it should be the purpose really behind all that we're doing. And I think the idea of coming together and gathering Israel, sometimes we think of gathering Israel is, okay, how many people are baptized? How many people, you know, are in the house of Israel? But exactly like you said, what President Nelson said, anytime you can do anything that brings someone closer to Jesus Christ, anytime you do anything that puts them in the position, the Spirit to speak to them, you are helping to gather Israel. Even if that's at the grocery store and you smile at someone. Yeah. I mean, the other day I was at the store and there's a sweet little lady walking and she looked really sad, but she was just darling. And I just stopped her. I said, excuse me, I just have to tell you, I love your look, your hair, your outfit. You are just beautiful. And I can tell you're beautiful inside and out. And she got teary-eyed and she was like, that just means so much. And in that moment, you could tell anytime someone speaks truth and you have that emotion, it's an opportunity for the Spirit to come in and testify. Yep. And that's gathering Israel. And if you give people enough chances to feel the Spirit, that Spirit is going to lead them to the waters of baptism. It's going to lead them to not only walking the covenant path, but walking with Jesus Christ on the covenant path. Yeah. And you're exactly right. The Book of Mormon has played such a huge role in my life, in building my testimony. And I love, as I've studied these introductory pages, I've come to really love them. And I try to look for themes that connect things. And as I read through all of these, because we're looking at, and sorry if you can hear my, Heather's like, don't do your pages so loud, but I love my paper scriptures. So you're going to hear them turning. You know, but we're looking at the title page, the introductory page, the testimonies of the three witnesses, eight witnesses, and the testimony of the prophet Joseph Smith. You know, all of these things, my little title for this is like, God is the ultimate choreographer. We're looking at the testimony of a handful of people over thousands of years. And you can see, even in just this introduction, how, you know, these plates were here and then those plates were lost, but they were commanded to write another set of plates. And then this all happened. And then you were able to, the witnesses were able to see it. And I love how this, these introductory pages really do lay the foundation out for this book. And so as I was reading those, you know, earlier, as I was preparing for this, the thought just kept coming to me, okay, these introductory pages really set the foundation and the tone for my experience in the Book of Mormon. Well, what are in it? What are the things that are in it? And so I looked at the elements that are in here. So, and how we can take those and use it to foundation for our lives and our experience in the gospel. And the elements that are in these pages are, there's someone testifying. You have the introductory, there's an analysis in it. And I think when you're looking at your own testimony, to testify to someone else is one of the most powerful ways to strengthen your testimony, because it allows the Spirit to tell you when you're speaking that this is true. I also love the idea of analyzing it, breaking down, what do you believe? You know, what do I believe? Why do I believe it? And then there's the testimony of others. There's such great power in hearing and reading the testimony of others. And it's because it gives, again, the opportunity for the Spirit to come in and testify of what's true. And then again, the last thing is recording our experiences. I will tell you, one of the most spiritual experiences I've ever had, I went home and I recorded it in my journal. And it was one of those, I call them stake experiences, where, you know, you've got this tent, you've got the stakes. This is one of those experiences that hold my testimony strong. And I'm sure I'll share it sometime this year. But because I recorded it, sometimes if I find myself struggling under the burden of, you know, questions or sorrow or grief or fear, I will literally go back to that journal. I will open it up. It is dog-eared. It is marked. And I will reread that. Mm-hmm. Because Heather, like you said, you forget. And I don't know if you guys have done this before, but I'll go back sometimes and I'll open my book and I'll be looking for something. And I'll read something that I wrote before. I'm like, oh, that was really good. And not that I'm a great writer. Smart. What? And not that I'm an amazing writer. But when the Spirit teaches us and we share it, there's something special and unique about that. So recording that, because really that is kind of a thing that happens in the present, then you can go back and relive those things. So that's just one of the things that I loved about this and taking those principles into my life so I can testify. Yeah. I can analyze and look at my testimony, and I can listen to others' testimony, and I can write down my experiences too.
I had the thought while you were talking, Michelle, that we have the testimony of the eight witnesses. We have the testimony of the three witnesses, the eight witnesses. And then I thought, and what we're doing is we're doing another testimony of three other witnesses. And then we're inviting everyone else to do that too. And I thought to myself, I think it would be really cool that as I'm studying the Book of Mormon this year, that I'm gathering evidence of the truthfulness of the Book of Mormon to me. And I would like to kind of have as a goal at the end of the year to like write my own introductory page that's like testimony of this witness. You know what I mean? Like to be able to like add that to those introductory pages, and hopefully like each person can have their own testimony of their witness of the Book of Mormon that's part of their own introduction to it.
And that would be an awesome exercise if we all just sat down and wrote, okay, here's how I feel about the Book of Mormon right now. And then at the end of the year.
Right.
Write our testimony of this witness. Yes.
Yes, this witness. And
after we've handled the book and we've read the book and we've applied the book, what we know to be true about it. Yeah.
Because then we can become witnesses as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think there's power in that. I mean, how many times, you know, we're looking in the scriptures. And Stephanie, do they go back and they read the scriptures themselves? I mean, the Savior himself was like, oh, you didn't record that. Go record that. That needs to be recorded. And then he would quote scripture and he would quote Isaiah. I was thinking just the other day when he was, I was reading, the Savior was quoting someone. I was like, if he would like to quote me, what would he be quoting? Would he be like, and that's what she said, go do your chores right now. I mean, like, what am I saying? Am I testifying of him in a way that he could say, well, in the words of Michelle, she said this, you know, and not that we all have to be that articulate, but I think it comes down.
Right. To I think you brought up a good point of just talking to someone at the grocery store. I mean, if you just look at our day, just take today, is there a time that we said something that was in effect testifying of Christ? I remember one time I was on a volleyball trip with my daughter and I can't remember exactly the subject, but somehow I'm like, well, this reminds me of when Nephi did this. And I'm like, well, that was really cheesy, but it did remind me of that. And I shouldn't be reluctant to share something that I'm connecting to. So
well, I'm trying to make an effort to say the name of Jesus more often. Like there is, you know, there's that Christian song, there is power in the name of Jesus, and it's based on scripture as well or whatever. But Elder Anderson and others have taught about the importance of like speaking of the Savior more often. And so like you said, well, maybe that sounds a little bit cheesy or whatever, but if we think of the Savior, let's talk about the Savior and be witnesses of him in any way that we can. Yeah.
And not shy away from, I mean, imagine if like Moroni was like, well, I mean, these are okay, but you really don't have to read it.
I mean, he's written eight chapters about Jesus. Should I really write another one?
I'm the best writer.
And he did say that, but he's like, still read it. You should read it. And he invites us to read it. And to be, you know, to come to Christ so we can be perfect. And I think it's cool because in was it the introductory page where it actually refers back to Moroni's last, some of his last words, the almost to last words, you know, the Moroni 10, 3-5, where he talks about the promise. And this is another reason why I wrote down that God is the ultimate choreographer. And that's kind of my theme for this whole thing. And I'm just going to turn to it. I love how he says, you know, if it be wisdom in ye that ye read them right now. And I love that if it be wisdom in God, that tells me the moment I'm reading these scriptures, it is wisdom in God that I'm reading them. It is wisdom in God that we're here right now doing this. It is wisdom in God that you are listening to this right now. There's a reason. I think it is up to us to discuss. I think there's so many things that we won't ever know why until later. And that's going to be a fantastic moment. We're going to be like, oh, I totally get that. Okay. Right. I get that now. But I just love the fact that there is a purpose to everything God does, even if it doesn't make sense. I think about origami, and I don't know if you guys have ever done origami, but like when you're in a box, you fold the paper a certain way and you fold the paper a certain way. And there are certain steps, fold the paper, increase it, and then you unfold it. And then you fold it a different way. And it's like, why did I do this just to undo this fold?
Yeah.
And then you discover later that you needed that crease for this little section to fold over like five steps later. And I think there's so often in our lives where we fold and we're creased and he's undoing everything, but we need that for later. And so I love these pages at the beginning because it sets us up for us to invite you know, that into our lives and to see that in the lives of these people, because these are real people. I'm so excited that we're going to be diving into the stories, because Nephi was real. You know, Amulek was real. Alma was real. They were all real people who, you know, who ate lunch and took naps and studied and worried about peer pressure. And you know, they're all of these things. What was that?
And got blisters and, you know, just all that normal stuff. Yeah.
Yes. And they did it without McDonald's and chocolate. Like, that's right. Amazing to me.
That is amazing. This is why we honor them.
Well, I think they had chocolate.
You think, oh, Heather's like, actually, there was chocolate.
I think there was chocolate, but that's okay.
Really? That's why you're here.
Well, that makes yeah, me funny. all the fields with the cacao beans.
Yeah. That's probably why they got so much inspiration.
Mm-hmm. It was the chocolate. I don't know. Those of you watching will see my necklace. It's actually a bedazzled Hershey's Kiss. That's my talisman.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, that sounds kind of yummy.
It is yummy. It's so yummy.
Michelle, I just want to add kind of like my testimony to what you just said, because I really do think that when we open the Book of Mormon and we spend time studying it and reading it, like, God teaches us the right things at the right time. You know, like this idea of the master choreographer or whatever it is that we need to learn, the Book of Mormon is like a conduit. It's a seer stone in itself for us to be able to hear and know God's will for us. And the three of us, when we study the scriptures, the whole reason we're doing this and coming together is because we've each gotten different things out of it, mm-hmm. right? And that's true for every single person that the Spirit teaches us. We could all look at the same verse and just have completely diverse insights into that because of our own circumstances, our own hearts, and God knowing those things and the Spirit helping us to learn. And so I think that's one of the awesome things about studying the scriptures is God will teach us what we need to know, when we need to know it, and we just open the door to that by opening the scriptures.
Yeah, I was told once that when you're studying the scriptures, have a notebook open of thoughts that you have nothing to do with what you're reading. And I love that idea because it's sometimes I will get stuck in, I want to learn, you know, the history and I want to dive into the meaning behind this word. And I think those are all really important, but there's a handful of different ways that we can study the scriptures. But there's also, like you said, the Spirit will teach us. You might be struggling with, you know, adult child or a toddler child or a friend or a parent. I'm in I'm right now in like the knot in the bow tie where I've got, you know, my mother's passed away and my father is older, but then I've got these younger kids who are now adults and now I have grandkids and I feel like I'm kind of tied between these generations and it takes a lot of prayer of praying for them and just being able to spend time with them and knowing that I can go to the scriptures and I could be, you know, I don't know if you guys ever do this, but sometimes I'll pray and I'll just flip my scriptures and I'll just open it up and I'll look down to a verse and I will read something. And so many times that is the answer to what I was looking for. And so many of the times it's not, but I feel the Spirit whisper mm-hmm. to me something else. So I think part of the reason that we wanted to do this podcast in this way and the Come Follow Me manual is fantastic. I mean, we encourage everyone to go and study it. There's some wonderful resources in here, wonderful things, but we didn't want to follow all the things that they were saying in here, just to add on to the same thing. We wanted to bring, talk about the same content, but really just to show that you can come from different angles, looking for different things, finding different things. But the thing that connects us all is Jesus Christ. That's what it all comes down to. And that's what it comes down to. Okay, awesome. Well, this will be done.
Well, that was fun.
Well, that was fun. Anyway, that was fun. We hope that you enjoyed this podcast. We would love to hear your feedback. If you want to leave any comments, and we plan on doing this weekly. So we'll be back next week with, I think it's 1 Nephi chapter 1-5. And we're going to bring our then, now, and how thoughts. And so thank you, Heather and Stephanie. You guys are both just amazing people. And I'm so thrilled to be doing this. And I look forward to a wonderful year of learning and laughing with you guys.
And share it with your friends and share your testimony along the way.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone. See you next week.
See you next week. Bye.